Hello, and thank you for being with us here in the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Rav Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. Today, in this conversation, we want to discover who we are, to get to know ourselves better in order to know how to take our lives to a better place, not in a brainy way, but in an emotional, practical, everyday way, to understand more, to feel more, and to fly forward. We have a lot to learn. Be with us. We're taking a journey inward. Tal, you're our guide. After you. I thought about the subject today. Today we want to continue talking about our inner world, what drives us, what motivates us. Today we're going to talk about feelings, and I remembered when feelings, people's feelings, yes, feelings, moods. And I remembered when I was growing up, when I was in high school, there was a period when I felt all kinds of moods and feelings. I felt I didn't have any guidance. Who did? And it was many years that I thought that since then, if I had had some kind of guidance, if I had been helped somehow to learn how to work properly with my moods, my feelings, how to look at them, to understand how to think in a positive manner, in a constructive manner. Until today, there's no psychology, actually, in school. Yes, and I thought it was something that's really missing. And therefore, we as adults are missing lots of tools that could help us. In the previous show, we spoke about we wanted to understand who we are. And we spoke about me being my desires, my desire to enjoy, that each has a desire to enjoy, and that's what motivates us in life. Yes. So when we're talking and asking ourselves what's happening in our inner world, we usually don't pay attention to our desires, and we pay more attention to feelings and moods. So I want to understand the difference between feelings that we each experience throughout the day and desire. Is it the same thing? A desire is a lacking, that I want something. A feeling is what I experience. So first of all, our general sense in which we feel, everything that we feel is called a desire to receive or a desire to enjoy, a little bit more technical, a desire to receive pleasure. And I want, because I want it, I feel inside this desire what I'm prepared for, what I'm prepared to identify, to differentiate, etc. This desire to receive grows, and then I'm like a baby. Then I open my eyes, I start to see, I start to feel, to check, to research the reality around me. The desire grows, and then a person develops. When we get older, our desire is extinguished, and a person gradually closes himself and falls asleep until he dies from his entire desire. What does it mean that he got rid of life, that he got rid of his desire? A desire is life. The significance, the size of the desire, that's the essence of life. And here it all depends on a person's development. There's things that we were born with. And then later we have family and environment, and it depends which direction to turn to. Even if we were born with a strong desire and we're egoist, we can get good results from it. And the opposite, it all depends how we use our desire, apart from having the desire, how I use it. But first of all, speak about the size of the desire and its character. We know that we can give a person musical education or put him into a class where he'll learn how to draw. And then he'll develop in that direction. He might not be a genius or not Modigliani or Shakespeare, but he'll still be developed. Meaning we need, for all our senses, for all our inclinations, painting and sculpting and writing, and rhymes and songs. We need to develop a person, because a person in school has to go through many forms of development. Doesn't matter how much he knows, how many laws, more or less. Afterward, we still don't know anything. But the main thing for us is to develop this general sense called the will to receive, that not only that he'll know how to enjoy as many things in life as possible in his development, from drawing and music and dancing and everything. I would build a school in a completely different manner than how they are built today. Everything would be based on activities. And even physics and chemistry and biology and all those things, I would also make it out of like fun activities. It would all be done in games in a circular way. Everything is to develop our general sense, which is a desire to enjoy. That's it. The same thing with the animals, inanimate, vegetative, man. It's all the size of our will to receive. But in a person, you can develop it much more than in other creatures. The truth is, when I was growing up and my childhood, I had lots of extracurricular activities, singing, dancing, drama. I'm sure my will to receive was very developed and developed. But what I was missing was those tools to deal with myself when I wasn't in one of those activities. I remember myself going through all kinds of states and thoughts. Nobody taught you how to use your desire. Nobody taught you the system, the basis, that I'm a will to receive, and my will to receive, I can develop it in all kinds of directions. What do I want to enjoy? Why? What for? How does this compare to that? How much desire to enjoy are there in a person? Do I need to limit them or develop them, or to develop them and limit their use? Am I doing good or bad to others? Who can damage my desire from enjoying? How do I maintain it? How do I maintain not just the desire, but the feeling and the desire, the pleasure? How do I maintain it? How to conserve it? How to conserve our pleasures? We don't have a lot of pleasures in life. How do we do it? In our childhood, nature develops in us an ability to enjoy each and everything, whichever way I look. That's so well developed. And then that's it. We close ourselves off after the age of 20 or 30 at the most. A person closes down and apparently doesn't want anything else. He is satisfied with what he has in this framework of enjoying whatever he can. He's not running distances to the space to climb mountains and go to the depth of the sea. This is what makes him old. On the one hand, we see that our kids are growing later, and on the other hand, we see that they're old from an early age. And this is how the generation becomes a little bit more lazy when not very highly motivated. It's not that they're bad. It's not that it's bad. We just see that throughout the generations, our desire is going through some very multifaceted process. Desire for food, family, sex, money, respect, knowledge. Those desires exist in every person and some different combination in each person. Some people have inclinations toward money, some more toward control, some toward science. Some people, it's enough for them, food and sex. Some people are glued to the family. And it changes from generation to generation. There were generations when people used to live inside the family, guarded, and that's everything. Some would break up the family and wander around from place to place in the world to discover continents or to draw etc. These desires, these individual personal desires in each and every person, but also in general, in each generation, we have a preference, apparently, for the development of our special desires. And it also depends on the woman and men, that there's changes in that, and also changes between nations, from civilization to civilization, Malaysia, Indonesia, with Canada. I'm talking about the nations that are there, not because now it's all mixed up, so we can see that it's not working anymore, what was in the past. And the main thing is, we need to teach a person how to use his desires properly, how to develop desires, because the more that I develop desires, I have more options to enjoy. I once drove with my friend in North America. We were 10 days in New York, and I promised him that in New York, I'm following him, whatever he wants. He knows the city well. I was there many times with my lectures and everything, my profession, in journalism, on TV. And I said, this time I'm going with him from the morning till the night, museums, only museums. And there's huge museums there in New York, according to the collections and the Metropolitan, of course, and all that. Not just that, but also private museums. They don't let normal people go in there, but he ordered it in advance. It's inside special houses that either live there or don't live there, way up high, and it's not for the public, on the higher floors. And you see, a person lives in his world. He gets everything. There's some filter, and he sees the world. Where's the picture? Where's the picture? That's all he sees. That's how it is in every person. So to develop in a person an ability to enjoy everything is to give him a ticket to life. It all depends on our school. Our school, first of all, is from 8 to 2, let's say. And the face-to-face lessons. Not like a soldier in the army. People don't grasp it, and every year less and less kids are going to school. But a whole day with the games and everything. Do we have, apart from our desires, some kind of inner world of feelings, thoughts, all kinds of things that we think about throughout the day? You're talking not only about the desire, but you're already talking about what helps me develop desires and connect them, or the opposite, open them, close them, etc. It's some machine or that operates along with the desire, and that's called our brain, our thoughts. That is all, it's all geared toward only to open or close desires, to want more, to want less, to feel more, to feel less. Our brain directs our feelings to which direction we're going to go. That's his work, first of all. Afterward, it filters it, it works on checking them, building them, and to feel what I, to understand what I felt. He processes the feelings. That's already an additional part. The part that was added to feelings that developed throughout history are, as such, our brain developed. If a person only felt two things and not the third, then our brain, in accordance with that, would even be different in its form. The way it processes things, its ability to process input. Our brain is flexible and adjusts itself. It's there to serve our desires. So I still want to understand what the subject is of moods that we have all the time. Moods that influence our life in a very significant way. They define our feeling. Sometimes it seems they change a person completely. One day he can be happy and gay, the next day he can be sad. It can go on for a few hours, days, weeks, or more. It can be spontaneous and directed. There's all kinds of factors. Sometimes it comes with no reason. Negative moods can influence the way people interpret reality. It's really like that. So what is this thing? Why are we always changing? First of all, it's proof that the desire is the basis through which I receive the picture and analyze the picture in a subjective, personal way for me only, that I can change from moment to moment and see a beautiful picture. And somebody will say one little word about the picture, and for me it can be threatening or bad somehow. Or the way we absorb things is very personal and dependent on how much for me something is good or bad. Meaning I never grasp reality the way it is. I always grasp reality through my desire, and my desire is also directed at self-pleasure. And if it's not, then the picture can be the most beautiful in the world, and everything can be the best, but I accept it as bad. It all depends on our completely subjective perception, my perception. What determines that? Because one day I can be happy and see reality nicely, and the next day I can have this bad mood descend on me. I can feel everything's black and not good. It depends, first of all. Lately, it depends on the balance, on hormonal balance in people. And we see that even without any reason, entire continents are falling into despair. There's reports and graphs in the World Health Organization where you can see red and orange and white in reporting the despair in the world. We see from year to year how much this problem of despair is grabbing onto more and more people, meaning our general sense, which is a will to receive, instead of enjoying, we're suffering more and more each year, each passing year. If once upon a time it was a problem of the elite that they had a bad move sometime, bad mood. Simple people were happy and good, bad. They would get through it easily as something natural. Today, no. Today, even though a person has everything, he still feels in a down mood. He himself doesn't know why. It's known to doctors Today it's very prevalent. I have a few problems with our generation, which is sex, that there's the despair, the drugs, lack of motivation. They're smart and advanced. They say, well, why should I do anything in life? What will I get out of it? And then people don't grow. So this despair is precisely up to the age of 40, let's say. And as we get older, there we still have, we don't know what's going to happen in the next generation, but still there precisely begins to be some addition, some pleasure from life. And we see that older people know how to work and want to develop and are attracted to all kinds of events. They fill up all kinds of clubs and in university I see 60, 70, 80-year-olds, they come, they're happy, they go into all kinds of extracurricular activities. I read that happiness is like a U graph. It starts high in the middle of life, it goes down, and then it goes back up. Like Gauss, but the opposite, yes. But again, it's only the characteristic of our generation, and who knows how it's going to transform in the next generation. I don't think it's going to remain. I think from the beginning of life to the end of life, people will be with this curse of a bad mood. Not that it's not good. A person will just feel empty. What does it mean that a person's empty? What is this emptiness? Meaning that I have a desire, it has to enjoy, but I don't know from what. Therefore, I'm sitting and doing nothing, and give me something to enjoy. So what am I left with? Alcohol or drugs? It's somehow to blur the situation, to feel less despair. That's what we see in the world. How it's becoming more acceptable. And also unemployment, a lack of hope, lack of future. That apparently we're going into a world where even if someone arranges my life, even if I get some benefits, and if I have what to eat and drink and sleep in some corner somewhere, some apartment even, and family, so what do I get out of it? A person asks about more significant questions. In the old day, he used to just think, I have where to live and that's it, my wife, my kids. I have a cow, some land, it's great. Meaning we're beginning to ask about the significance of life. You said before that mood can be something that people who don't sleep enough become more fearful. But I'm talking about what's characteristic of our times. What is this thing that can influence our mood? Lack of the essence of life. So they'll throw me out of work, so I'll sit at home. I won't do anything. I'll take a cigarette, a joint or something, and time will pass. Let's say a person who does find significance and finds a society and feels happy, he'll, of course, he'll go through moods. Yes, we even see that in football players and all kinds of people that are, they want to awaken people, to shake them up a bit. This is how he holds them. But still, it's temporary. Is there some system or program, like we spoke about desires, that determines my mood? What controls my moods? Why are they changing all the time? Let's say a person that has significance and even a good environment, development. We're always on the path of development. And it needs to bring us to a very high level, to the peak of life. And therefore, when we're attracted to something, we're like a person living in this world. He's hungry and full. He's hungry and full. And the same thing we are with a general desire, meaning we're happy from something. We empty out, we're happy from something, then we fill with something. But each time, the filling is more significant, and this feeling of emptiness is more significant, until I begin to ask myself the questions. Why am I living? What am I living for? What's the point of my life, etc.? And here, actually, we haven't reached these questions, actually. But we're only, these questions are being asked from inside us in an instinctive manner. We don't want to take them out. A person is afraid to tell himself that he's asking why he's living. But our mood is like that. That's in the meantime. Soon we'll reach a generation that will ask it in a very clear way. And then they'll have to answer it. And in the meantime, it's like we're closing our eyes. We're letting the politicians play with their politics. We're letting the economists also do what they want. We're continuing this game. But this whole game is inside life, that what's happening inside life is we're already just in despair. We want to know if there's a reason for life. And is there a result to life? If there's a reason and a result, then it's worth it to live. If not, this whole planet, with its whole form of life, these proteins, this body of proteins, it's not worth it. Once I used to live because in this existence I used to enjoy myself. So for these pleasures, it's worth living. But it's really like rape and punishment to be here, then what for? And that's gradually what we're reaching, meaning decisions are tough, but as I understand, they're good and fatal decisions. We're at a point of a transition, which afterwards we'll see a new horizon. Okay, so let's say I'm a person that's experienced all kinds of moods and feelings. Maybe I didn't understand that the source of my mood is so wide. So let's say I woke up in the morning with a bad mood. How do I need to analyze it? Some people go to run. Some people take antidepressants. Is there something better that I can do with my bad mood? So that it's not just some symptom that I need to erase. We need to teach, like we teach a person about everything, how to realize himself. We need to teach him how to realize himself, to first of all get out of the bad feeling. Not that we want to attract him precisely to our questions and answers, but rather we want to help him, first of all, to rise up. And therefore, we need to teach him that entire system to understand who he is, what he is, what he's built of, what his desires are, the role of his desires, his thoughts, the role of the thoughts, the environment, the influence of the environment on a person, how much it can benefit or harm him. It's all a system that nature formed. That nature formed in such a way that we need to know, like in any science. And so this is the most interesting science, because it really touches me. But it's not science because we can't depend on any results. What we're researching, we don't really know all the details, all the reasons, and therefore it can't really be called scientific research. But it's for a specific sector, the existence of humanity, so we call it some phenomena. So here we need to use the integral system in which humanity is in, and we need to learn integral systems from physics and math. It's not hard, but we need to know the general laws. How much these are closed systems. Our universe is also a closed system. Every village, every city is a closed system. Now it's more integral. It's all interdependent and connected. Our planet with all our population, and this is a closed system. And we begin to develop a person, open his eyes to show him where he is. So he sees how much he influences the environment, how much the environment influences him, not just his level, but inanimate, animate, vegetative, like the climate issue, the balance in his body, what's disturbing, what's good. And when we learn all these systems, internal and external, and the mutual influence they have on each other, then we open more his eyes, and in other words, we are not matching that same huge integral system that we live in, because this system demands all its parts to be in matching, in equivalence of form with it, that each of them is an integral part, will act like an integral part, meaning that it will be in giving and bestowal rationally, in the correct rational manner that he needs to give to the system and what he's willing, allowed to take from it. And then a person would feel in himself in an ideal state. The problem is that contrast to inanimate, vegetative, animate, we're egoist, meaning we want to receive without giving anything. Not just to receive with not giving anything, we want to receive on the account of other people. And to the extent that they feed off that, that how much nurturing it gets, that enjoys me. Instead of just having a desire to receive pleasure, I also enjoy the fact that I'm higher than my fellow men, and they're suffering, and this makes me happy. We need to learn these things with lots of examples, and it's all called integral education, an integral system. And from there, a person begins to see how he can, along with others, at least get into a system that's not global like the world, but a small integral system. Let's create some activities and learn between us how to build some integral form. So what laws do we need to have here? So we need to teach them the laws, how we participate with one another, how each gives and takes. And if I don't allow you to give, that's not good, because it's like I'm disregarding your giving. If I'm not giving, then this mutual connection, we're all taking part in being filled with it. We need to learn these things. We have an entire list of laws of behavior in the integral society, where we need to feel the general force of this great universe, that we feel that we're rising above all this nature, what we already ruined and dirtied. We apparently rise like a frisbee, we head out to the stars. To that extent, that's how we feel, as if it has nothing to do with the planet. We need to get a feeling that we're in, that we're between the stars, but far away from this dirty clock. This is what a person begins to feel, that this power comes, that we are connecting to the general integral system, which is the great universe. And if we give people a feeling like this, it's better than all the marijuana. He starts opening his eyes, not that he's closing his eyes and not feeling anything, just the opposite. He's attracted to that. He rises above this whole world. He sees that there's an opening here to another era, to another dimension. And this is what we need to give people. It's a completely different use of their desire. We're going back to our that our character is a will to receive and to absorb it. And here I'm getting will to receive by connecting in a harmonious way with everything around me. And then I receive, and I begin to receive, not because I'm pulling, because I start to open up in myself all the power, all the attributes of nature, of the good, happy nature goes over me and fills me in a transparent manner. And I'm not disturbing anything. So what we need to teach people is that not just psychologists and all those courses are talking about it. And then people won't be buried in their despair and go in all kinds of twisted paths. And that's it. In this manner, we'll be able to bring humanity. So you're describing some process, a development process that where we go through lots of changes. So when a person feels some bad situation, unpractical, dark situation, does he have to bring something to that integral system? Is that a sign of something? That means that we already feel the connection between us and the integral education. A person doesn't ask himself, how do I live? But in a simple way, I have a piece of land I live. If I'm alive, or the road that I live on, if it belongs to someone, sandless, tailors, doesn't matter what. Or I live in a specific city. I'm heading to another city, that's already a problem in the last 100 years. They started giving us more permission. They let us connect with the world media, connect with our families, but still we need to understand that we need to arrange them. A person would feel better. And these are families that are relatively, everyone knows what to do. The mother looks after the home, and people would develop. So family, this is actually the form, this is the example. What we didn't do, we didn't develop in the family in a normal way. At the beginning, we developed from in the village. In the village, there were more or less the same relations. Everyone was close to each other. People used to live inside a wall and feel that they were connected to one another. And everyone had some relative relationship. There was also a population there. And later on, with technological development, in the relations between us, and we're no longer concerned that our development will be natural, that it will be like in a family, that maintaining the same connections. And of course, there aren't relations. I come to Manhattan, where am I? And where are all the millions that are there? Actually, in cities, they say people feel more isolated, meaning it's a result of the connections between us. If I'm in a small town, everyone knows each other. Some people like to walk around in small cities. And also in all the other countries, that it's a nice view and it's pleasant, nature, convenient, everything, to walk along the small roads. So to make a long story short, we need to maintain this law of equivalence of form between us toward the family and the connection between us to the general nature. And the general nature created us as an integral system, family or a village or a little town, nothing more. And the latest development is really corrupt. That's why we see so many problems. We see it getting ruined in all directions, the economy, our finances. Politics has become really cruel. So if I got a bad mood, and I understand that I'm not living in isolation, I'm living in some society, some integral society, like you explained, what do I need to understand from the bad mood that I have now? Do I need to understand something about, from studying, first of all, we learn from feeling bad. We feel bad and we don't know that it's bad. He got some blow on his head and he's walking. You're feeling good, you're feeling bad. He doesn't even have the strength to check himself. He has no self-criticism. And then he begins to understand that truly he feels bad. And then they explain to him why a person feels bad. And then he checks himself from this or from that. They make questions about it, workshops, they verify things. First of all, when he hears, learns from others what's happening, and then he checks. This is really inner psychological work. And afterward, we teach him how to find a solution. But to find a solution, not to hear it from us, that after the verifications, he has to reach it on his own. And in general, we learn from nature. We see that nature doesn't allow us, doesn't give us solutions. We're suffering, we don't know why. We don't know what the solution is to the suffering. Because how can we put it? If I don't find the solution, then it's not mine. And I must search for it. I must check, find. And of course, this is true. And then I will be able to realize it. Therefore, our studying in all these circles and all these activities that we teach this integral psychology, we need to teach them in such a manner that for each thing that we want them to find a solution for, we activate them. That they'll discuss it, they'll answer questions, and from the questions, they'll understand the facts, the laws, the behaviors, the laws, how to behave, and they themselves will draw the circles, etc. They need to know themselves. Just like you said, a person who doesn't know himself actually cannot correct his life. But this is how we always reach this in a manner that we give the questions and the problems and they solve them. And they find the answers themselves and can summarize the answer. And we didn't bring them to that, but rather they themselves found it. This is actually the system, the method. And then it becomes for their own good. And then they understand that they need to implement it. This is my problem. This is the solution. And I found it. I found, even though the solution is not so convenient good, but I see that it's mine and I have no choice. I have to overcome it. And also this overcoming is simple because he does it with the environment. He doesn't need to struggle, make an effort. Here's another problem. Now I have some problem in life. I feel bad. I'm in despair. I can't get myself out of it. I want to take drugs. I want some music, some beer. I want to forget everything. I don't have any strength to reach a solution. To succeed, make money, to learn, nothing. I don't have strength. Here, when I'm learning in the integral education, I'm also learning that I have a problem, I'm in despair, I have no motivation, nothing. What do I do? I have to take myself out to another degree where I'll be involved with others. I'll find that force, according to equivalence of form in the universe, where we raise ourselves up to this feeling. Something new fills us, but I have no strength to move. But here I also learn along with this that the power to move myself toward that same goal, to get out to the new world, to the new stage, I can do this with the society because that's where I find the problem. That's where I find the solution in my circle in the workshop. And this is also where I can implement it. And therefore, it's not difficult. And just like it wasn't hard for me talking to other people, we reached a solution. We really found that, verified the problem and the solution. And in what form we can reach a solution in the circular form and everything that has to do with it. The solution is in the center of the organization, in our efforts where we're connecting properly, like one family. As one man with one heart. And this is how I begin to learn that all my problems, whatever they may be, food, money, my desires, disappointments, everything that can possibly be, I can solve inside the circle. And therefore, that same general problem that I'm in despair and I have no taste in life, and if I ask myself, what do I live for? Just like that. What am I living for? They won't be afraid to ask this question because by verifying the question between them and getting the answer and more, they will reach the correct solution. This is the collective intelligence that really brings them to this. And not just to the solution itself, but also how to realize the solution to implement it, not some far-off theory, but really in implementation. And this is how we advance. It appears to be contradicting. I come with a very specific problem of my own, and actually sharing it with others, I get a personal solution because the world has stopped being personal. It's become integral, general. And therefore, we must this is how we get to a general solution. There's no person that isn't dependent on everyone. Therefore, I'm dependent on everyone, and everyone's dependent on me. And this network is becoming more and more revealed, and this gradual revelation, we see it as the approach in crisis, because each day we're becoming more and more like this network. I read in psychology that today we understand more and more the importance of a support group, that people who tried to change their habits succeeded if they had a support group. They understand that a person on his own, it's difficult for him. And we spoke about, I get up in the morning and I don't have strength, and I come to the circle. And what gives me strength there by coming and sitting with other people? You're not getting strength. You're integrated in a circle, it's more correct to say. I don't receive from them. If I receive from them, then I buy them. I receive strength from them. No. I'm giving myself to the center of the circle. I'm swallowed up there. I'm disappearing them. I'm melting there. And there, then in this manner, I begin to feel that there's some different level of existence, not me, but us. Not just us, but all of humanity. Not just humanity, all of inanimate, vegetative, animate. And how to improve my mood? I'm no longer there by myself. It's around nature and pushing us all to develop this big program in nature. And leading all of humanity. And so I begin to flow with that same great flow of energy. And this is how I feel myself, that I'm disappearing, that I'm really I'm in some upper light. Can we get into it in a bit deeper? We started with the fact that I get up in the morning in a bad mood and I come into a circle of people. I want to go, and I'm this individual, and how many people do we need to have in this circle? Is there a minimal amount? 10 would be ideal. Okay, let's say you're not 2, you're 10, and I'm one. I'm the one that got up in a bad mood. I got up today with a bad mood. Maybe everyone got up like that. We also got up like that. We're not your doctors. We came to the circle, and now what? According to our mood, I came upset, and she's been crying all night because her little dog disappeared, let's say. And why did you come in despair? I have all kinds of problems with the kids in school, and you're tired of this life until they grow up. They cause problems, and then they take off, and you don't see them, and everything's understood. So we don't start to ask you why you're this sad, because it's clear to us that you have a million reasons. No, this is we don't do. No. Nobody. We don't ask anyone. We don't begin crying in the circle and stuff. That's what we don't do. But rather, now we begin to integrate between us according to the laws of the workshop. And we have a teacher that teaches us. What's he going to teach us, actually? We need to, first of all, we need to look at one another and try to smile. As much as I smile in a fake way, you keep smiling. Take yourselves and your hold hands in the circle. Start singing some song. What do you remember from nursery school? Do you remember anything? Okay. That's not what you sang in nursery school. I don't remember any single song from nursery school. We need to do a few fake things, a few artificial acts. But there's some artificial things we can do. In which we begin to be connected to one another. It doesn't matter, even in a mechanical way. And then we can do exercises, meaning all kinds of clapping things. Meaning we start to connect all these systems, our systems. We begin to get them into connection between them, which is completely mechanical and there's nothing in it. Okay? Afterward, we begin to speak to one another in a nice way. Even though I don't have a good attitude toward you and don't see you at all in the half meter between us, I now need to say something great about you, that you're a wonderful person, that you've excelled in so many things, that you write so well, how much you learn, how much you know, all kinds of things. Even if I don't know you, it doesn't matter. I simply need to dress on a person the form that I want to see him in. Let's say it's my son. How I would see the beautiful way I'd like to see him, and that's how I talk to him. Or let's say you're my daughter. To men, I'm talking in a more masculine way. And look how pretty she is. Look how gentle and special. In other words, we're starting to learn from that what our desire to receive is, how much it enjoys, how it quickly gets us out of the regular primitive despair. Our entire situation is artificial because according to the plan of nature, we're supposed to get despaired now. We start in our system after we did all kinds of exercises to match ourselves, the match between us and what we're heading towards. Then we're starting the workshop. So in the workshop, we're verifying questions. Which questions? Our teacher, the questions that our teacher gives us. What's the first question? We have another minute and a half. Still, the first question for a workshop that we have came in a bad mood. We came to the circle in a bad mood. We don't talk about the bad, first of all. Even that's the question. How will we not talk about the bad, but only the good? How can we only talk about good and not bad? It's already psychology. You can already get very into depth in that. Anything you can use to synchronize yourself because you're adding to one another and you're not arguing according to the laws of the workshop, and then you're gradually beginning to head toward the goal of connection in which you achieve a different level of life, that it is worth living, that you're full of energy because you're going to profit something, you're going to gain something great now, a great life, something that's above all the limitations. And you must feel at the end of the workshop filling, energy, power, warmth, no limits. Here we have a limit and our time is up. Thank you very much, Rav Lyman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. We'll connect. We'll rise above all the limitations. New life. All the best. So long.